Hello and welcome back to For the Love of the Run with me and Carolyn Sue. We do this every month. You may already know if you're new to the show. Welcome. Where you been? Go back. Listen to some episodes because we're always here for you. We're here for you. Carolyn Sue and I, if you don't know this, we have eerily similar lives in an astonishing amount of ways. So we found ourselves kind of sharing notes all the time. Kind of offline, and we're like, you know, let's just turn this into a show. We can't be the only people who are having these sorts of topics or issues or whatever. So here we are, letting it happen again. We're doing this on Black Friday. We're here.
Yeah.
Black Friday Sale and Rambling Runner Podcast. I have to say it. Let me get this promo out real quick, Carolyn, okay?
Okay.
From Black Friday to next Black Friday. That's right, a whole year of Black Friday sales, all episodes free. You heard that right. All episodes from here till the next Black Friday on the house. You're welcome, Rambling Runner fans.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. All right. Carolyn, where were you yesterday for Thanksgiving?
Well, first half of the day, we were actually driving back from New Jersey. New Jersey. We went to visit some friends Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday morning, we were driving back and got back home quickly, like unpacked some things, and then I baked cornbread rolls and rushed over to our friend's house. And we had like a big Thanksgiving, you know, celebration dinner potluck at a friend's house with karaoke and, you know, all that jazz. So,
wow.
My kids slept in. Yeah.
Thanksgiving with friends. I've always been family only. I haven't done the friends Thanksgiving thing. That's interesting.
I mean, that's also because our family lives in other states, you know, mm-hmm. Like our family's from Texas, my family and my in-laws' families, you know, our parents are all in Texas. And so it's just we try to see each other Christmas time because Thanksgiving to try to rush back for just like the 2-day holiday is super expensive. And now my parents have their own social lives. They're kind of like, I don't know if we can fit you guys into our holiday plans and schedule. So we don't usually spend Thanksgiving with family.
Wow. Grandparents doing the opposite of the normal grandparent thing.
Oh my gosh.
No guilt trips here. We're just, you know, we'll let you know if we're available.
Don't get in our way.
Yeah. That's hysterical.
Don't cramp our style. That's what
we're like the opposite. We like, you know, my mom lives 3 miles away. My in-laws live across the street. I'm recording this show from my in-laws' kitchen.
Okay.
Literally, when I say across the street, I'm not speaking like metaphorically. Like, no, across the street.
That's right.
So my kids are at my house and they're doing their thing. And so I'm like, all right, I'm recording silence over here. We worked out just fine. So if you hear a little more echo than normal, I'm kind of in an echoey situation here, but hopefully everything works out just fine. Yeah, we were all family all the time yesterday, which was a great experience for me. It was like a lot of football and my mom and her fiance, they've been together for over a decade now. And, we had great.
That's
and
sweet.
Actually he is a chef and my mom is an excellent cook. So we had food du jour. It was great.
Wow. So what is the kind of cuisine that your family usually cooks, you know, for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, so it's like the New England specials, basically. It's like exactly, if you just put like a little checklist of like, what does Thanksgiving in New England look like for a family who's been here? We had all the check marks, really. I mean, it was like, we had the turkey, we had the stuffing, we had the mashed potatoes, we had the butternut squash, we had the corn, were there other things? I feel like, and we had like, you know, a million appetizers. The appetizers get a little more creative, but it's usually like all the hits during, I think the only thing we didn't have is sometimes people will go with like the sweet potato dish, be it the butternut squash, which is like, it closely resembles it in some way, at least in color, but it's like butternut squash with like a ton of brown sugar. So it's like, it's not like full butternut squash. It has like a very sweet, very sweet taste to it.
With all of the brown sugar. Yes, I can understand. Yeah.
For sure. And my daughter was helping out. She likes to help out with that stuff. So she was like kind of at my mom's side for a little bit. And I think she just does it just to like sneak ingredients in.
She's like, by ingredients, extra butter, sugar. Extra sugar.
sugar is like basically. So she's doing her thing. It was just fun. It's just kind of funny because like, you know, if you're baking, it's a chemistry problem, right? It's like you can't be adding more things. Like this is a you know, this is like a science experiment. Whereas obviously if you're just like kind of like normal cooking, like, you know, there's, you can add a dash of this and can kind of freestyle your way through it to some degree. But yeah, so she's just like throwing stuff in.
It's like you take out the pan of butternut squash and it's basically this rock hard caramelized version of brown sugar.
It's basically the cooking, it's like the cooking version of like kids at a grocery store who are just like always trying to like sneak stuff into the cart. It's basically the cooking version of that.
So y'all don't do like the sweet potato with the marshmallows on top or mac
I've
and
had
cheese,
that before,
those things?
For sure. So I've definitely had that before. I think especially with only four adults and two kids, like there's definitely comes a point of like, all right, how much are we actually cooking here? And how much is this going to end up at my house in the fridge? Right? So again, good problem to have. But at some point you're like, we just can't eat all of this food.
Yeah.
You know, but like, you know, basically it's my mom and her fiance, Kevin, just like resisting the urge to cook every single dish. In the cookbook at this point, you know, because that's just their style. It's like they overcook everything in terms of like the amount. And it's just like, oh my God, we got to stop. This is too much food here.
Gosh. Are you team leftovers for days and days? Or are you more like, no, that's it. Whatever we don't finish, we like either freeze or we just don't, you know, you try to keep it out of the house.
Oh, I've always been team leftover. And I'm even more so now that I work from home.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, all right, like, I'm just going to have that for lunch. I'm just going into the fridge, you know, like, and I'm not complaining about having too much food. I'm just laughing. Let's go back a second. People's like, hey, Matt's saying too much food is bad. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, hey, you don't need to make this much. Save a little bit here. Make some next time, right? We don't need 15 entrees. There's four adults. Relax, right? Excuse me. So I just to clarify there, right? This isn't like a problem. This is more of like a, hey, mom, We're good.
Yeah.
Just enjoy your day now. We don't need the 15th vegetable dish. So, no, I'm definitely team leftovers. How about you?
I hate leftovers, honestly.
Oh!
But...
Are there certain kinds of foods that you can do? Because I feel like some kind of foods, like, some kind of foods I feel like, say meatballs, right? The longer they're in that sauce, the better, right? So, like, a leftover meatball could actually end up being better than the first time around.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know if it's just because I usually am the person who's cooking or what, but I don't like leftovers just in general, not just around this time of year. But I mean, but Jimmy is all about leftovers, so I can just like serve him the same exact dish every single day, lunch and dinner, and he's totally fine. But I get really tired of things. And so then I have to get all creative. Like, what else can we put ham in? What else can we put turkey in? How can I dump all of these vegetables into a casserole and all of that stuff? And it gets really monotonous to me. But regardless, I mean,
is there
having
any food
too much
that you
food
can
is
just,
bad.
Is there any food that you can just keep eating that you don't get sick of?
I don't know. I'm someone who I like something different every day, which makes it more troublesome for myself. Honestly, it's more work for myself. So I don't know if there's something that I can eat every day. I guess at this point, though, in life, because I get really homesick, if it's like authentic Taiwanese or Chinese cooking, homemade stuff, you know, that my mother-in-law will make or relatives will make, that stuff, yeah, I can eat that like breakfast, lunch, dinner, those types of things. Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah. For me, like, I'll never get sick of cereal. I just won't.
A cereal?
Right? 40, 41 now, about to turn 42. I haven't gotten sick of it yet. Been eating it every day. It's not.
Oh my gosh.
I could keep it rolling. I was like the classic, like, bachelor eating cereal multiple meals a day and stuff
living
like that.
Living the college life.
Yeah. And it wasn't even like, I mean, there's been plenty of times where I've made zero money. Like, I was like college basketball coach, you know, so I was like basically making like $16,000 a year and trying to live off of it. So like, I've definitely not had money for many, many years of my life. I had that and trying to pay off college loans at the same time. That was a fun challenge. Mm. And it was, so like, I definitely needed to save, but at the same time, like, I could have been making $1 million a year. I'm like, cereal, let's do it.
Cereal's not cheap though. Now that do you ever notice that? I don't know. Anyway, but
well, I mean,
cereal's
comparatively,
good. I can live
right?
off of that.
It's like you can get like like a sink. I got my son he likes the chocolate Cheerios, right? So we got the large family size chocolate Cheerios. I think it was last weekend.
Oh, chocolate Cheerios.
Maybe it was $6.99, right? And it's like, wow, that's way more than it usually is, right? So, but everything's relative. But at the same time, like, but we're going to get like 15 bowls out of that. I mean, we're paying like 30 cents a meal here, right? So it's like, I mean, is it more expensive than before? For sure. But is it still like the steal of a deal? Damn right it is.
Oh, man. Yeah. I lived off of cereal the early years of my professional life. Professional, quote unquote.
Wasn't that when you were a dietitian?
Yes. Why you gotta call me out like that? Yeah, but no.
You're like, all right, what should we have for fruit? Fruit Loops. Have you tried Fruit Loops for the fruit?
Oh, you know, like Raisin Bran. It's got raisins. There we go.
There you go. But, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's funny. We're watching some streaming service last night. It's like when you watch commercials on streaming services, it's like so much worse than watching commercials on cable because it's the same two commercials for an hour
and
a half.
Yeah.
So you're like, I just can't anymore. Like, I'm about to turn this movie off. I see this damn commercial again. And it's like, it was one of them. It was like this guy like cooking like with raisins and all this stuff. And you're like, mm-hmm. It's a raisin. Obviously, it's a raisin commercial. And you're like, my wife is just appalled. Like, putting fruit in things, it's not happening. She's like, why are they just ruining all these foods? Like, she was, like, damn near ready to turn this show off that she could not wait to watch because this guy was, like, holding up, like an oatmeal raisin cookie or something.
Oh, I love oatmeal raisin cookies. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
All right. This is our warm-up.
We're warming it up. We're getting it going. All right. Excuse me, guys. All right, so let me just dive in. So last time we talked, people heard this. You had some knee issues, and then you hurt your other knee. You had some lower body issues just happening all over the place. However, I follow you on Strava. I know you're moving around. I know you're doing some things. You're logging some Strava data, some Strava activities.
That's right.
So where are you at with your rehab / activity journey?
Oh man. Well, I'm on a return to run program now. Woohoo! I started it 2 weeks ago, and I'm now up to 3 5-minute intervals of running with 2 minutes of jogging in between. And I gotta say, the strength training has been paying off. Like, I notice a difference. Surprise, surprise. What? Strength training helps us as runners? But yeah, all of these weeks and months of what felt like just tedious, monotonous, frustratingly slow strength work, physical therapy work, you know, all of that, has really, I can tell a difference, you know, in the ways that my body is able to move, even though it's only in 5-minute intervals at a time. I think a lot about activating my glutes, activating, you know, my hamstrings to propel myself forward, as opposed to kind of just, I think in the past without even realizing it, maybe I was just kind of almost like stomping. I mean, not actually, like if you're going to see me running, it's not like I'm actually stomping every step in my strides. But I think essentially that was what was happening, that my joints were taking the majority of the impact, but I just didn't really notice much. And what I've learned through this process of physical therapy is the type of meniscus tears, I don't know how to say that, that I've sustained.
I've never heard someone plural meniscus before. I honestly have no idea what the proper usage is.
Meniscuses.
I think menisci sounds like it should be swimming in the ocean.
Like, oh, octopi.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I think the type of tears that I have, my physical therapist was saying that it seems like I have most likely had the tears already, you know, a while ago that had just slowly continued to just kind of pull and worsen, which I don't know. I guess it's just, it was really humbling for me and really honestly kind of discouraging at the moment when I was realizing these things and realizing that for a lot of people who have meniscus injuries and meniscus tears, apparently it's not super common for them to fully heal because blood flow to the knees, that area is very low. And so a lot of people who do have meniscus tears that don't require surgical intervention, the way to, like, you, I guess you heal, quote unquote, from that by doing a lot of strength work. You know, and I think, you know, we talked about that. And that's what my surgeon had told me. You know, my his prescription to me was to, quote, get really strong. But really,
I already am strong, doc.
Yeah.
let me send you my article on running the Trans Rockies.
Gosh, no. So, yeah, like I've been doing all of these different. Yeah, I feel like I spend more time doing strength work than I do actually running right now. But when I am actually running, I notice a difference, you know, and my, and so far, again, only in week two of the Return to Run program. So far after every run, like I'm almost like holding my breath and bracing myself for the aches and the pains, you know, and they so far have not come. And I'm just so relieved and so thankful that I'm finally able to run again and that things are, you know, going well. And I am now just, I feel like there's been this mindset shift where I am embracing the strength work, you know, more openly than I was in the past, where I was kind of doing things more begrudgingly and still very like frustrated that, oh, I have to do this because I can't do anything else, you know, but I feel like slowly there's been this internal shift of I'm so thankful that I can do these strength exercises because I feel so strong when I'm out on the road running, you know? So that's where I am now. Encouragement
nice.
To others.
I'm going to clip this. I'm going to clip this because you know what? Sometimes we need to hear this later when we actually can run for a long time. And we're like, wait, did I? What? How did I feel about strength training when that was the only thing I could do?
Are you going to play this back at me later? Later in the spring?
It's actually going to be the intro to all of our episodes. Carolyn Zhu talking about begrudgingly doing strength work, but now she's a changed woman.
Oh,
and now
she'd goodness.
Be like, oh, shoot, I didn't mean that. Now that I can run for an hour, I don't want to do any of that stuff again.
That's so true, though. I do want to remember this, you know, and I don't want to then later like take for granted the ability to be moving longer distances.
And I say that as someone who I go through the same thing. Cause I'm saying, I'm like saying it to myself because I know I did it when I was having like bursitis issues. So I'm like, I'm never going to take strength training for granted again. Like,
yeah.
Like you can guess what happened. Right. I haven't gotten hurt, but like, there are times where like, I'm like, wait, I don't want to do this. I'm like, no, you fool. Didn't we already go through this? Do you not learn anything in your life? Do we have to repeat everything?
Oh, Matt Chittum's internal dialogue. No,
it's not a positive place. The Matt Chittum internal dialogue is not a very positive place. I can tell you that. That's why I need to get on the show with you, right? So positivity can flow. Well, I'm glad things are going well, right? Because you were worried. Yeah. I remember we spoke last month. It seemed like you were like, oh my gosh, like I got this diagnosis, and then I'm lifting, then hurt my other knee. And it was like, it seemed like, and you didn't say this, but it came across as like, I can imagine it being like, am I going to even run again like this winter?
Oh, yeah.
Like what is going on here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, definitely. And I think there is still a part of me that feels that way, you know, especially watching everybody, you know, running the, you know, the New York City Marathon, Indy Monumental, and running all of these turkey trots even right now, of the idea of continuously running for even 3 miles right now just feels far away to me. But you know, that's sometimes that's just the tension that we live in, you know, and being able to recognize for yourself like, okay, well, it doesn't do any good to be thinking ahead in this way, like discouraging thoughts or like the what ifs and I'll never get to da 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 da, but just to focus on where you are right now and show up for yourself now in the ways that you can. And yeah, like then that way I feel like I can look back with no regrets, you know, like looking back at this time of just slowness. But being able to say like, I spent that time in a way that I can be proud of, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. and a shout out to Tracksmith, who sponsors all of For the Love, for the Love of the Run. There you go. There it is. For the Love of the Run episodes between Carolyn and I, a year-long sponsorship. Thank you, Tracksmith. Big shout out. So starting at 12:01 a.m. this morning, so the 25th, all the way through Cyber Monday, Tracksmith is having a sale. That's right. Tracksmith never have sales. Even
That's when you right.
use our code, it wasn't a sale. It was like free shipping, and 5% goes to like our charity that we love, which is a fantastic deal. And next month, you should do that. But before next month, let me tell you, if you use the code GRAVY20, gravy as in what you put on your turkey yesterday, 20, you're going to save 20% on your order on Tracksmith if you've ever wanted to buy stuff at Tracksmith. Now is the time. They never have sales. It's just not what they do. So take advantage. You got 3 or 4 days, depending on when you're hearing this, to go to it. Go to Tracksmith.com. Use our website, which is Tracksmith.com, Love of the Run. Use code GRAVY20. Save 20%. So for me, this time of year, I'm wearing the Brighton mid-layer long sleeve a lot, either on its own or underneath something else, whether it's a vest or a windbreaker or something. I'm wearing that all the time. One thing that I put in my cart this morning, and I'm going to pull the trigger on, I might add something to the cart, so I'm not 100% sure yet, but I'm going to, is the Harrier long sleeve tee. I have the Harrier short sleeve. I haven't ever got the Harrier long sleeve before. It looks super comfortable. Have you bought that one?
I love the Harrier. The whole entire Harrier collection line is my favorite.
Yeah. So do you like the Harrier more or the Brighton more? I know they're a little different, but...
Yeah, the Brighton is, it feels more like a technical tee, right?
Yeah, it's a little more like, it's supposed to be like a base layer, so it's a little bit tighter.
Yeah, it hugs like, your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the merino wool, but it's definitely like a, yeah, it's a keep you warm type thing, where the Harrier looks like a little bit more baggy. It's hard to tell.
I mean, not baggy per se, but it's not as like, it doesn't stick to your body. It's not meant to be form fitting per se. And the Harrier, it looks more like a regular, just solid colored, you know, top that you can wear not just for running. Whereas the Brighton base layer clearly looks like it's an athletic exercise type of top.
That's a good point. Yeah, the Harrier looks like you could just like wear it with jeans and it would look perfectly normal. Yeah. How about you? What are you wearing right now from Tracksmith?
You can tell I'm wearing Tracksmith.
Oh, are you? Yeah, I can't. Your hair's down. I actually can't. I mean, like more metaphorically, but if you're rocking it right now, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I'm wearing the Fells Waffle, the waffle layer turtleneck. And it is super soft. I think this might actually be my new favorite. I have been a Harrier loyalist for so long. And then I branched out. And so I'm wearing the Fells turtleneck, and I love it. It also looks like a top that you can wear not just for exercise. And so I've actually also worn it just like when I go walk the dog or when I'm out going to the store or whatnot. And it's really, really soft, but it's also the whole, you know, merino wool. So it keeps you really warm, even though it feels really lightweight. Yeah. And I do like to run in it because my neck gets really cold if I'm only wearing, you know, like a crew neck top. But I like that the turtleneck can keep my neck warm, especially when it's like windy. And I don't need to like mess with like a gaiter, you know, across my entire face, that type of thing. And so, yeah, I really like it. And it seems to, I kind of like my clothes not super fitted, but not like super baggy either. And so I'm usually a size medium, size 8-ish, you know, women's size 8, women's medium. And the Fells tops are also kind of true to size, I feel like, and a little bit longer so you can tuck them in to your running tights to keep the air, the warmth, you know, in. So I really like that.
Yeah, I got I don't have the turtleneck. I have the just the normal one in terms of like the normal
the
collar.
The Henley, is that?
Yeah, the Henley, that's it. And yeah, it's warm. It's definitely one of my, like, if it's once it gets below 25, especially if it's windy, then that'll be my base layer instead of the Brighton, which is nice. So, all right. So, Tracksmith, hook it up. GRAVY20 for your code. It's 20%. I'm telling you, it's a big deal. Also, use for the website, tracksmith.com. Love of the Run. Go out there today. So, give you a heads up my running. So I just did my first trail race. I want to say like 2019, 2018, around then. Yeah, I did the Under Armour Trail Series. They had like a mountain trail series a few years ago. I think it's now defunct. It was like a pretty short-lived thing, but they had like I think four different spots around the country. One of them was up in Killington, Vermont, which was great. I actually met Sarah Caney was up there. Your coach. She was up there. Allison Staples with a huge crew from Baltimore went up. And it was a great experience. Some people from Harlem Run were there. The Under Armour busting all of these people. Like, it wasn't a surprise that, like, the series didn't last very long. It's like, how much money did you spend, like, like bringing amateur runners up to Killington, Vermont? It was like,
wow.
They spared, like, no expense, which is, again, probably why that race doesn't exist anymore. But it was super fun when it did. I did that. That was fun. But it wasn't really like a trail race. Like, it was more like you like went up the mountain. So you basically started like the Killington, like where you'd go skiing, where you the base of the mountain for skiing, right? So you kind of, so exactly where you'd see like all the chair lifts and stuff like that. So like, it was still pretty high up. Like you would like drive up the service road to get up there. And like the same spot, if you've done like a Killington, like Killington Spartan. They have like, it starts in the same spot. The Spartan races are always up there. Off peak months for skiing. They have all these races and dirt bikes and mountain bikes and stuff like that. So they had this trail race, but it was really more like a mountain race where like you'd go up like fire roads. Like, there was a little bit of trail, but like going up the mountain was more fire road type. And then coming down was kind of more down some of like the ski paths, which was a little bit rockier and more rooted, not rooted, but like kind of like lumpier. Right.
Yeah.
And it was like, so that was a fun time. But like, again, it wasn't the same kind of like I run trails around here. It's not like that at all. It was very different.
Oh, I see.
So it was my first trail run and I don't even know how long, maybe 10 or 15 years. And even that one was like a one-off. So it wasn't like I've never really gotten into it. So I've been running a lot more trails, side entrance trails. It was hysterical. So it was like an 8 mile one, but it was really like 7.5 miles. It's around the Vin Gormley Trail in southern Rhode Island, really close to the Connecticut line. And it was an unbelievable field, first of all. Like, it was, I think there were 50 people who broke 8 minute pace for like this 8 mile race. Again, on trails. It wasn't like 8 mile.
What?
Like, if you saw that like on the roads, you'd be like, wow, this is a pretty good field, right? It was faster than 8 mile pace, like on trails. It's like,
was it a technical trail? Like, that
some
is
parts,
flying on some, the
trail. Not the whole thing. Like, it's so like, like 2.5 miles of it were on either road or like on the kind of trail where you could basically run your road pace and have like your road gate on. So, but then like the other like 4 or 5 miles were on trail and like the leaves are down. So you like, you don't know what's under there.
Yeah.
So it was wild. Like, the person who won ran like 5:50 pace. Like,
oh my
gosh. Oh. Like, the one guy who I know is like really good, he's like a really good trail runner, ran like 6:30 pace, and he finished like 17th.
Wow. What?
Again, for an 8 mile race. It was wild. So like, I'm like not touching any of that. Right. So like, even if it was like on the roads, like that, if it was like a road 8 mile and wasn't like super hilly, for me, like, my pace would have been around 7:30. So around that, right, around that realm. You know, some days a little faster, maybe some days a little slower, whatever. So kind of in that sphere. So, like, but for in this race, I ran, like, 9:30 pace. Okay?
Wow, that's...
Again, so, like, 2.5 miles of it was road. So then on the trails, I was probably around over 10-minute pace on the trails. But the craziest part was seeing these people who obviously spend a lot of time, I'm assuming, hopefully they spent a lot of time, because if they just walked into the trail race and acted like this, I'm completely disheartened.
And we're flying.
But not even flying. It was like they just moved over the trail like mist over mountains. Like, it just, nothing impeded them. It was just floating over the top. Like, they weren't flying, but they were just normal. They're running like their easy pace as if they were on roads. Like, nothing was different. Right. Like, my normal easy pace is around 8:30 to 9:15. Right. But I wasn't doing that on the trails. I'm like, I'm going through the trails like I'm playing Tetris. I'm like shifting and moving, going side to side, trying to figure out the right spot. And these people are just kind of flowing over it as if they're just running on roads. I'm like, what's happening? I don't understand.
That's incredible.
I'm watching. Right. It's not like I'm watching like the winners do this. I'm just watching, like, I got passed, I think, by 6 60-year-olds. this is crazy. I'm watching them like, what is this person doing? Like, it was funny. It's like in the middle, there was like a road section. I passed like a bunch of people. And I wasn't trying to. I was just like, went to my normal, like, I'm running at roughly threshold pace against a 7.5 mile race. So like the road hits, I'm going to run threshold pace in the road. Just like I'm trying to basically run threshold pace on the trail. So I pass a bunch of people, get back on the trail, like within like 3 minutes, all these people passed me right back. And it was like, they're probably like, why'd this guy pass me on the road? It's like, I wasn't trying to be, you know what, but it was like, I'm not going to like tank. This is a race, you know, I'm trying to give my effort here. It was just wild. It was a wild experience to see people, again, just like normal people like you and me, who obviously like have navigated, I'm hoping have obviously navigated this stuff for a while now, like handled these kinds of terrains in a just completely different manner than me. And I'm sitting there, like I'm calling up friends of mine, like, how does this happen? How can I like take this next step? Like, what do I need to do to learn to do that? Because I'm not doing it. And it's not like I'm a novice either. Like, I feel like I've been on the trails for several months, if not more than a year, like on and off for more than a year. But the past like 4 months, I'm on the trails like 75% of my runs. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like I'm getting better. And then I go do this. I'm like, I don't think I really improved very much. Maybe 2%. I had this visions of like great improvement that I was having. Like, in retrospect, I don't think I was. I think I just like memorized the trail that I was on. So like, I was able to like kind of pick and choose. No, it's like, someone's like, am I becoming a better reader? It's like, no, you've just memorized the book. So now it looks like you're reading better. Right. This is like me talking to my son. And whereas like, oh, I'm on a new trail all of a sudden. Now I'm like, no, back down to like my actual reading level in regards to like reading the trail. So it was wild. Anyone out there who has tips and hints beyond just like, hey, just run more trails, dummy. Like, if you have actual hints or tips or tricks or ways to improve, please let me know, because I do enjoy it. It is a lot of fun. I had a great time. I would prefer not to get passed by more grandparents in the next iteration of this experience. So that would be nice if I could, right? No more 60-year-old passes like late in the race. That's please. I just need to, for my own ego's sake, can we please not have that, right? So that was fun though. I really enjoyed it, and I am looking forward to it. I actually did sign up for a spring 50K.
Yay! In March. What? Okay, yeah, so where is that, and what is that going to look like?
11th, I think. So March 11th, it's the Squatch Apple Trail Run. It's in West Orange, New Jersey. So in that area, they have a whole bunch. They have like a whole trail series that they put on. It's basically in the same park/land area for all the races. I think each one has a different kind of like different, maybe some different loops or how they orientate it, stuff like that. So
okay.
This is one of those that gets a, I think it's like a 50K, then there's a 20 mile and like a 20K and stuff like that. So they have a whole day of stuff. So anyway, I signed up for the 50K trail race. So, in for a dime, in for a dollar kind of move.
I'm going to be
running a lot more trails, which is why, folks, I need your help. Please help me. I'm trying to go faster. Hopefully my trail pace can soon come close to my normal easy pace. I'm hoping, please, but we'll see.
Is
but you've done this. You've run the Trans Rockies. Do you have any tips for me?
What? Didn't we talk after I ran the Trans Rockies? You know how my experience went.
You're thrown into the deep end. You know, did you learn? Did you learn how to swim? Can you impart any knowledge?
Run more trails.
Right. I feel like that's the
run
solution.
More trails, dummy.
I need the hack. I need the 4-hour work week
the
of trail
hack.
Running. Where is that book?
I don't know, man. I'm
Can
sure,
Tim
yeah.
Ferriss start yeah, trail running and with... give me some hints on how to improve faster?
Aren't you supposed to lean into, you know, the downhills and stuff and not try to lean back when you're going down, you know, that kind of stuff. Like when you're going down the declines, you're supposed to kind of like lean forward, let the momentum take you, even though it feels counterintuitive. And
yeah, I
don't
got
know
that.
About the climbs.
I think it's more just like there's rocks and roots everywhere.
Yeah.
What are you going
to
do?
You're supposed to just kind of like just.
Yeah. I was talking to Andy Wacker once, who's like one of the best trail runners like in the world. I had the live show at Eugene Marathon. I actually asked him afterwards. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to run trails. Like, I'm really struggling with, like, getting any sort of, like, rhythm on some of these tactical trails. And he's like, oh, yeah, the key is just to be, like, just to go straight. Like, just, you know, Like what do they call those things that like
run flatten, the tangents like, or something? Or
no, like those big machines. Oh my god, my words. Like say you're like they're putting pavement down, right? And okay. like those big rollers that they roll, like what do they call those? Steamrollers? Is it a steamroller? So basically treating yourself like a steamroller going over the trail. Like just go straight. Like you don't be hopping around. And it was funny. I was like talking to someone else about it and they're like, yeah, like basically what you just did is like the equivalent of like asking Eliud Kipchoge on like how to run like a 2-hour marathon. Like this doesn't apply to you. Yeah. Like you shouldn't be getting like tips this on how to so do mean, this by like yeah. the person who's like the best at doing it in the United States of America. Like their advice is like not made for you. Like you need to go somewhere else for advice.
Gosh. Yeah, just be like the mist and glide over.
Oh. Yeah, because it was like, oh, I think it was like 6 months after he did that, I remember watching like a video clip of him like at like a trail race, and like the trail race like YouTube and videos are amazing. They're so much better than road racing. So it's like I love deep diving into them. So like it was like him like just smashing this trail, and then like afterwards I like read somewhere like in that section I was watching he was actually going sub 4 minute pace like on the trail.
What?
Like absolutely. Flying. I'm like, this is why this advice doesn't make any sense for me. Like, I can't run 4 minute pace like if I'm like trying to escape a burning building for like 10 meters.
Oh my goodness. No. Oh, that'll be really exciting though. I'm excited for you. And now I'm kind of thinking, what if I talk with Sarah to run the 10 miler, you know, the shorter distances? How did you pick this specific 50K? Like,
yeah,
was it
so
the
basically
course
it was
or
like,
what?
Well, so as people don't know, I live in Rhode Island. So it's more like, all right, I want to find something in the Northeast. I don't want to travel. Like, got two kids at home, got a wife. Like, traveling for races is like not, it's too much stress. And like, I have my own parental guilt associated with it as well. So I try not to travel for as much as I can for work. So I'm like, all right, I don't want to travel for races either. So if I can find something local, let's do it. So there's two races that kind of fit the time frame. There's just not a lot of races that close to where we are that are 50K. So there was two of them that really fit. One was the Shore to Shore 50K on Long Island, which basically run from, it's kind of right in the middle of Long Island. You run from the North Shore to the South Shore. And that one, okay. That one looked great. Like it wasn't super technical. I watched a whole video of this guy. Like he did like a 20 minute like video of him running shore to shore. And it looks like this looks right in my alley. Like this, like the technical aspects of it. It definitely is a trail race, but it's not like super crazy tech. Like this looks like it would fit my my level of running trails. But it was like really close to my son's birthday. And it's like, it's one of the things like I can't decide like right now, are we having one of those like, are we having the birthday party like the weekend before his birthday or the weekend after?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's too early to make that call. So like I just couldn't sign up. So it was going to be that one or this one. Which was, again, West Orange, New Jersey, which is about 3.5 hours from me. So not down the street, but also not like, it's still a car ride. Right.
Yeah.
So that looked like, all right, this probably would be a better, a good fit too. And so really it was just like a choice of two options, frankly. So cause I wanted to do a spring one. So that
would
was
your
really,
family go with you?
Would
you all drive down? No?
No, I
know. I guess it's kind of hard to necessarily like
well,
cheer
March 11th,
or support.
So it's going
to
be cold.
Yeah.
It's going to be out there.
Well, who knows? I don't know. Is it going to be cold? It's November right now. It's 50 degrees outside here.
Right. Well, I guess it's it would be cold for them if they're outside for like 10 hours.
True. Okay. Yeah. 50K is not a... Yeah, that's true. So you just drive down by yourself.
Yeah, and like, exactly. So my buddy lives close to there. Okay. So like, I think his wife is going to run like the 20 miler or maybe like the 15 mile or something. So... So I think she'll be hopping into it as well. So I'll probably see them down there. Who knows? Anyone else want to sign up? Squatch Apple.
Let's do it.
West Orange, New Jersey, March 11th. So we'll see. But hey, let's dive into another topic that you and I were both hot on. We've had some races happen. The New York City Marathon and Monumental, so the Indianapolis Marathon as well, this past month or so that have traditionally been like some big races for people. Obviously, New York is a challenging course, but... Mm-hmm. It's one that, you know, people fly in from all over. They want to have a big, big, huge race. In addition to that, Monumental is one that people have kind of like Chicago have targeted as like, this is going to be a fast race. This is why a lot of people sign up for it. Lift, Run, Perform does like a whole like sub 3 series and they target this race. Because it is known as a faster race, and given the time of year, usually the weather, there's a good chance the weather is going to work in your favor, which we'll talk about in a second. So, like, those have been some big races, and they were the same weekend?
I think it was the same weekend. Yeah, same weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, it was crazy to see. A lot of people went into these races with some big goals, and of course you do. That's no different than any other year, but some the weather... Again, New York and Indianapolis are not near each other, but the weather was crazy in both places. New York was super hot and humid. Indy, the winds were nuts. It was like 30 to 40 mile an hour, like consistent winds, not gusts, just like consistent. And it was wild to see. And it got me thinking, like, I wonder how people, you know, and I have runners, I have people I coach who ran it, so I'd be able to see this firsthand, but like how people are able to go into some races where they've had expectations building for months and months and months, what they want to have happen. And even if like they're not like wild goals, if it's like, hey, this is what my fitness is. And it might be a completely sober analysis of where they are fitness-wise. And then to go and do a race and be like, yeah, I have to scrap all of that. Everything I was thinking is now out the window because the weather that I was hoping to get, I'm nowhere near getting and handling that situation. And it's such like a mental game. You know, it's all of a sudden like the obviously the marathon is like such a physical component, and the last 10K is certainly can put you through the mental and emotional ringer. But all of a sudden, people are like going through the mental and emotional ringer before the race has even started, and it's like, oh my gosh, like this is just so tough.
Yeah, I know. I was reading and listening to podcast interviews. I mean, you spoke with Stephanie Martin. Right, who ran the Indy Monumental, and just listening to. Like, for example, in New York, how many people already early on in the race were, I mean, having serious medical issues, you know, and the heat is just so hard to be fully prepared for something like that, especially if this whole time, you know, you've been training in cooler weather, not as humid, you know, the heat and humidity can really... There's something about that I feel like that's different from when it's cold weather, right? Like when it's unexpectedly cold or even rainy, it somehow, I don't know if it's a mental thing or maybe also there's some kind of physiological component of like your body with all of the moisture evaporation, but as well as I feel like there's some kind of physiological transference of oxygen, you know, in your red blood cells and
science
in your lungs.
Corner. Here we come.
That like, I'm like, I swear, this is what I learned in physiology and anatomy. Like, there's a reason why you're able to breathe more easily when the weather is cooler versus when it's warmer and more humid. And to have that unexpectedly come up, you know, just a few days before this big, you know, race that you have been training for and preparing for. I'm sure that's been, I'm like waiting to read more of people's thoughts and like, you know, their emotional processing about how everything went.
Right. I feel like so much of it is just, it's so connected to what you're expecting going in, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, like we talked before, like we've covered this a lot. Like you did the Trans Rockies run. Like you didn't go into that thinking like, okay, here's the paces I want to hit. Like it was an adventure.
Right.
Right. So it was like the time of it was secondary besides like, I don't want to be out there 24 straight hours. Like I need to, the faster I go, the faster I'm done kind of feel. But at the same time, like the whole point of it was an adventure. With marathoning for so many people, even people who are in the 4:30 to 5 hour range, like they're very time conscious of this. Yeah. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but it's like, I feel like it's hard to, even if you wanted to, if you just spent 3, 6, 9, 12, 18 months thinking about like a race and some pacing and goals and stuff like that. And maybe that's what helped you get out the door the whole time was like these goals that were really helping you. So this is a big positive in your life. To then shelve them completely and just, again, even if you were open to the idea of just saying, no, I'm going to take an adventure mindset into the race. Like, this is now just an adventure. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to experience the race. And I'm not going to be, you know, dial into this stuff. It's a really hard way to, like, completely shift a mindset if you've been, like, baking it in for so long. And I feel like on some level, like, once the conditions get to a certain point, you kind of just have to take that adventure mindset of, like, today is going to be an adventure day. So we'll see what happens, right? But I'm not going to like be sucked into like pacing and stuff like that. I feel like it's just easier said than done, especially baked this times into your brain the whole time. And for even if it was for good reason.
Yeah. I mean, I just think about people like in the for the lift, run, perform team, you know, and how much you invest into preparing and then traveling to, you know, this goal race. And I know that everybody logically understands there will be more races ahead, but I think there really does need to be this this grieving period. You know what I mean? Like just kind of allowing yourself to grieve the loss of your expectations, you know, what you had maybe hoped things could be or were supposed to be, that you truly believed you were ready for, you know, ready to accomplish, you know, that kind of stuff. I hope that people are allowing themselves that time to just, yeah, if you need to feel bad about it and feel disappointed, allow yourself to do that. I mean, you don't need to necessarily take on this like positive growth mindset immediately right away and, you know, make that mental shift. Everybody does kind of have to take their time. 'Cause yeah, like these races are also not like, I feel like they're not small local races where it's like, these are expensive races for people to get to.
Yeah, that's another piece
as well, you know? You know, I also just think about the New York City Marathon. Like, I just try to imagine if I had gotten into that and then, like, really invested, like, and brought my family there and, like, this was going to be, like, this big event kind of thing and it turned out the way that it turned out. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of difficult, hard feelings there. So just allow yourself to feel those feelings. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Yeah, and also not to, like... I guess, and also to go all the way with it, too, because I feel like sometimes people try to, like, split the baby a little bit on this one. They'll be like, yeah, you know, like, I ran well, like, I executed, I, you know, I was able to run by feel, and I, you know, like, when the wind was in my face, I was able to just, like, again, put in a solid effort, but not get down on myself, right? Right, and they go through all those phases of, like, all right, like, you know, this sounds like a win, right? This is great, you know? And then... But then you get like to the but part of the sentence, right? Or the but part of the paragraph where you're like, but it would have been nice if I, and then they kind of list the five things. Again, I understand like that. Again, I'm no better than anyone else. Like I've gone through that stuff a million times, right? But it's just kind of like, it's so beneficial to approach these things again with that adventure mindset. It can be so hard. And sometimes people can start going down that road, but then they kind of like reel themselves back in. Right, like you're almost there. Oh no, they turn around and they kind of list their like, oh, but it would be nice if I did this or and stuff like that, or like, oh, if the weather had been that. And it's so funny because it's just so related to you know, the context we put these races up for, right? Or like the idea, like, all right, like if you go into with this, all right, I'm gonna run this marathon to hit this goal or whatever, like. Yeah, I understand. And like, and again, that's a great motivating factor, but like, there's just so many, I just forget, like, there's just so many factors that can play a part in these races that if everything needs to break right for you to have a good experience or to be happy with your experience, then I think you need to reframe how you're going into some of these races, right? Like if you need to, the nutrition has to be good, the weather has to be good, if you enter a pace group and they have to hit their paces so that you're following them correctly. And, you know, and then all of a sudden your gear has to be good. And the people at the aid stations have to hand you the water correctly. Like if everything has to be perfect for you to enjoy it, then I think that it's time to like, maybe take a step back and be like, okay, like maybe I'm not approaching this the right way. Because it's just such a long race. Like, it's not like, I feel like you can have that kind of mindset if like you're running like the mile. Right? Maybe the 5K, right? It's just such a short race that like the factors at play aren't going to be as consequential and they're not going to be nearly as prevalent. And even if they are, you can just go sign up for another one like next week and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you're running a 5K, that's probably not going to be the only run you do that day. Right? Like, you're going to be like, there's a chance you spend more time warming up and cooling down than you did racing. So you're going to be just fine.
Right.
But when you enter these longer races, like, I just think you have to be open to the idea of there's going to be a ton of variance.
Yeah.
Just an absolute ton. Even on a great day, there's going to be a lot of potential variance. And I just think we have to bake that in. And I have to do a better job as someone who hosts a podcast talking about a lot of this stuff. Doing a better job of just reckoning with the fact that, hey, there's going to be a ton of variance here. And it's not like I'm going to be between 7:05 and 7:08 minute mile pace. That's not the kind of variance I'm talking about. I'm talking about actual variance in this, because I feel like if we can, this word gets used to probably too often, but normalizing that idea, then I think that it will allow people to come to grips with this ahead of time a little bit more, right? Because the springtime's coming, right? So all of a sudden we're going to be trout. We're going to be working out in the winter, building up aerobic base, and all of a sudden we're going to be signing up for a marathon. And maybe some of you guys and some of your girls are going to be running Boston. Well, we all know that, who knows what's going to happen on that day.
Yeah.
Not only that, the people at the beginning of the race may have a completely different weather experience than the people at the end of the race. Like that's also happened very recently, right? Or like that weekend, the Newport down Rhode Island has a Newport, Rhode Island marathon. It's like the same weekend. It's like, go look at the pictures of that race. The people are running along the water, just getting pelted by rain and wind. Like every single year, it's hysterical. Like all the race photos are awful. Like there's no wonder they don't put them on they just like show the mansions on the website. They don't show like the race photos.
They don't show the actual.
Right. Yeah. Like you go into it, you have to go into that with like, you know, like almost like a Spartan mentality. Like literally, someone enters a Spartan race, they're not envisioning everything going right. Right. They're kind of envisioning like, all right, this is going to be hard and challenging and I'm going to have to figure it out. And I think that taking a piece of that mentality that you see in Ultra and Trail and Spartan and OCR and putting that into the road running category as well, I think not a whole bunch, because it is more predictable than those races, but taking a piece of that, especially for these longer efforts, I think would benefit us, because I think that there was a lot of people who were really disappointed in those races that did great. That did well. I mean, if you were disappointed because like you got carted off because of a medical issue, like, I get it, man. I get it. But there's people who did really well, who fought hard and did well. The only thing that held them back was this preconceived notion of what they thought they were going to run. But if you scale that back a little bit, then I think that you can really enjoy that race for what it was and the accomplishment that you actually had.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gosh.
That's my monologue. That's the monologue I wanted to get out.
Oh, that's the real reason why you wanted to talk about this.
It is. I'm not going to lie. It 100% is. Because I saw a lot of people. I just saw a lot of people having good days and that thought they had bad days. And I'm not going to have those people on the podcast, because it becomes like, not that there's not great people, but it's a hard conversation to have where you're like, no, you did great. It's like, no, I didn't do great. It's like, you know, that's not like a compelling conversation for people to hear. But it's an important topic that I think we need to talk about, because we don't want to live in a situation where, like, you know, we're doing good things and all of a sudden we're not, just because of our preconceived notions, we're categorizing them differently.
Yeah. Yeah. Once again, I think it's just bringing everyone back to what our expectations were, what each person's individual expectations were of themselves, you know, and potentially kind of helping them to step back and take a look at what really happened, you know, the reality of things in a more objective way, and recognizing like there are things you can still be proud of even in the midst of disappointment, or when your expectations don't align with reality.
And marathons are hard, man. I think people forget this sometimes. Like they've run a bunch, or like they're running community, whether it's in person or their digital running community. If it's just like, if running marathons is the norm, which is cool. It's a great way to kind of keep the momentum going, right? If like that's just like the norm, that's a great way. That's like a good community to be in if like you want to be a marathoner. Like that's a positive. But I think we forget that these are hard.
Yeah.
they just are. Even
they're,
if you did all the training, if you did all the training, even if you paced yourself well, they're still really hard. And we can't lose sight of that fact either. I think even if like, and that's like almost the curse of having a really good training cycle, that you go into this like super confident and optimistic, which are, again, great things to have. But like you almost lose sight of the fact like, but it's still going to be super hard.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's a good thing to remember too, because it also means that like you're not going to be surprised when you hit that point.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's my spiel.
Good one. Good spiel.
You know, is there room to push back? Is there a devil's advocate argument there?
I don't think so. I mean, I think you're right. Like, the marathon doesn't owe you anything, and the marathon is supposed to be a struggle.
Peter Bromka.
It's supposed to be a challenge. Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about Peter earlier today. Yeah, the marathon doesn't owe you anything, you know? And we forget that, especially with social media. And it's important. I think it's again, we live in this tension and duality of things being hard, and it's okay to struggle, but don't dwell in the struggle and still be able to recognize the gifts in the midst of it.
Yeah, for sure. And hey, you ran those races and you gave your best and you worked your tail off, then kudos to you. Don't be sitting around being like, oh man, what a bad day. No, you had a good day. You had a good day. Don't wallow in that. Like, you,
yep.
Be positive, right? Because, you know, there's plenty of things that could go badly that, like, hey, Carolyn would trade places with you any day of the week right now.
I was about to say, you could have two torn menisci and be doing your airlift squats at home, okay? I would love to have been on the course in New York or in Indy.
I love that. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Remember, hit up Tracksmith, GRAVY20, the code. Save 20%. You'll never see it again. Again, until like next Black Friday, you're not going to see it again. You got like 3 or 4 days to take advantage of it. You go to Love of the Run. So it's tracksmith.com/Love of the Run. GRAVY20, save 20% on some of their best stuff. We like the Brighton mid-layer, the Fells waffle, and the Harrier collection. Great for this time of year. Go hit that up. Also, if you haven't subscribed to Relay yet, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Okay. In 4 days, Carolyn Sue is going to be having a book club conversation with Kara Goucher and Lindsay Hine. Mm-hmm. Running with the Buffaloes, one of the best running books of all time. Go check that out. We'll be posting all that stuff on the Relay social media pages. Carolyn, do you want to say anything before we get going?
No. Enjoy your time with family and loved ones. Happy harvest.
Happy harvest. All right.
Yeah.
Have a great day, everybody.